If you've got your Bibles, I want to talk to you today about freedom. Let me say freedom. Freedom's an interesting word, right? It's and we're going to define it in just a minute, but I want to read some scriptures about freedom, because even though you have freedom, you may not be walking in freedom. And oftentimes the reason you're not walking in freedom, one, is that you don't know that you have freedom. And then two, you don't have the courage to stand up in the whole sight of fear to enforce that freedom. We're going to change that, right? Especially in the spirit, we're going to change that. Everything that freedom affords us, right? Again, I love what Lila said today, because I believe it with all my heart, that even our freedom that God gave to us wasn't just a gift to us so that we can say, I'm free. But our freedom was given to us so that we can tell others that they're free. And then allow ourselves to stand in that freedom. And when somebody else's freedom is infringed upon, that we'll go to bat for them and stand with them because of the price that was paid for our freedom. Glory to God. Look with me in John chapter 8. And I gave the guys back their 29, but I'm going to actually start in verse 27. And it starts out with, they did not understand. That describes a lot of us, right? Jesus is talking, God's speaking to you, they don't understand. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, standing before them, and he's saying things to them, and they didn't understand. Sometimes you wonder how that happened, but the reality is that we don't understand because we don't have the right frame of reference. In other words, that doesn't line up with our thinking. That doesn't line up with our experience. That doesn't line up with what we've been told. All right, watch this. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. So what he's just about to go into is, because first of all, the Father sent him, but also when he does what he's going to do, and that's go to the cross and die for you and me, that it's going to change things forever. Right? He came, watch this. And they missed it. He came to give them freedom, to take them out of bondage. But it wasn't the bondage of the government. It was the bondage of the enemy that kept them trapped. It was the bondage of them trying to live good enough and stand in the pride of, well, we're God's people, bless God. And, you know, and trying to live that out in themselves and go, well, we've done this and we've done that, and we go to Sabbath every week and we do all the festivals and we do, you know, all of the things, and we're holy. We don't eat pork. We wash our hands. We, you know, so therefore we're holy. And he said, no, that's not going to bring you freedom. Why? Because you'll always blow it in some way. That's never going to bring you to the place of freedom. But what I'm about to do, when you lift me up, you're going to see, because I'm going to be raised again from the dead. But you're going to see that freedom is different than you've ever imagined it. So now watch this. This is really incredible to me. The first sermon that I preached at a church after Rhema was out of these verses. But watch this. He says, verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Mark that. Many believed in him. Many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So this is differentiating between believers and disciples. I believe. That's great. That's great. That's awesome. That's the first step. But becoming a disciple, what does that mean? That means a disciplined follower. One who acts on the teaching that they've been given. Right? A disciple. And watch this. Jesus said many things, but a disciple is one who sacrifices something for something else. When I first did this particular message, I did it on a disciplined runner. And I equated it to somebody who trains for the Olympics. It's like, you might say, well, I was in track. I wasn't, because Dugans don't run. But I was in track. And you might say, well, how'd you do? Well, you know, I came in third a few times and whatever. But, well, how far did you go? Well, I did it in junior high and maybe a little bit in high school, but that was it. But the one who decides that when they're 8, 9 years old, I'm going to be in the Olympics, they go for it. And so when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, they're training in a disciplined manner to come to the skill level that will allow them one day to stand on the podium. Are you with me? So there's a discipline that it takes. How many have ever watched like ice skating in the Olympics? And they're doing those pirouettes and spins and everything. And if you're anything like me, you get on the skates and you go like this and you fall on your rear end, you know. That's me. How do they do that? How can they do that? They were able to do that because at 4, 5, 6, 7, they were in the ice ring at 5 in the morning before school, training. They were disciplined. They were a disciple of the skill that caused them to get the results. So he said to those who believed on him, if means there's a condition involved, and if always is an indicator of a choice. So for you and I today, right? If there's a choice here that is coming up. If you abide in my word, what does that mean? You live in it. And that's not just reading the word. That's not just memorizing the word. But living in it means that you're going to live it. If you abide in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? Because the Spirit of God is going to reveal the Word of God as you're dwelling and meditating and living in it. You'll know it. What does that mean? He's going to show you. He's going to reveal it to you. You're not going to get that necessarily just by coming to church on Sunday. You're not even going to get that necessarily because you watch a certain preacher on the internet over and over again. You're not going to get that. But when you abide in him, with him, in his word, he'll begin to show you some things. Right? It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at that. It's not that, you know, I've heard this said before. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Nope. That's not what it says. It says the truth that you know. Come on. The truth that you know will set you free. It's not the truth that I tell you. It's not the truth that somebody else puts on you. But it's the truth that you know, that you take personal, that you have an intimate knowledge with, that will set you free. If you want more freedom, you have to understand the contract that was signed to pay for that freedom. And the way you do that is you get with the teacher. You get with the one who wrote it. and you say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're going to reveal everything that Jesus has ever accomplished for me. And I want to know that intimately. I want that to be a part of not just what I know in my mind, but because it's part of me, it's now part of who I am. Are you with me? You shall know, you shall have an intimate personal knowledge with the truth. And that knowledge and walking that out will set you free. Here's the deal. Many of us walk in bondage because we don't understand the freedom that's been paid for us. And we might even understand the freedom that's been paid for us, but well, you know, that doesn't apply to me and those rules. You know, I'm not really disciplined in that, and you know, God loves me anyway. Or we're listening to the lies of the enemy who says, that doesn't apply to you. That doesn't apply to you. Who do you think you are? Right? Who in the world? We know what you've done wrong. We know what you've done wrong, right? This is the greatest example to me that I've ever heard, and I think it's just awesome of what I'm describing, trying to get across. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And that was in the mid-1800s. 1800s. And so the news of that, watch, the news of that didn't travel right away. So people, even though they were free, didn't know they were free. And they didn't really understand what that freedom meant. They didn't understand that the freedom that was given to them was the exact same freedom that anybody else had, and it was described in the Constitution of the United States. So, watch this. I just love this story, and if I get it a little bit wrong, forgive me, but there was a woman in the South during the segregation where they rode on the bus and they had to get in the back. Now just think about that. Think about that. Okay, come on, you can get on the bus, but you got to be in the back. You got to be in the back. Why? Just because. Get in the back. Think about that. A grown man, grown woman. So Rosa Parks. And it sparked a movement. But Rosa Parks said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I don't care what it costs me. Now watch this. It cost her something. It cost her something. But she said, I know that I am free, and I'm just as free as anybody else, and I've read the Emancipation Proclamation, and therefore I'm not taking this anymore. And I'm going to stand for the freedom that's been given to me. She's a hero. Absolute hero. But watch this. Let's bring this back into you and I, the spiritual realm. God, through Jesus, paid a price for your freedom. But oftentimes, we're staying in bondage because we are not proclaiming and standing for the freedom that's been purchased for us. We put up with sin, and sin that happens over and over again. Well, that's just who I am. Shut up. That's not who you are. Who you are is who Jesus paid the price for you to be. And the Bible says that you have been made free from sin. You are no longer in bondage to sin. There is no way that sin should have dominion over you, but you're allowing it to because you haven't become personally acquainted and acknowledged in your life the power that resides on the inside of you. Are you listening to me? Come on. Listen, if you got a bad attitude, and you know it, you're listening to the wrong voice. And you've already been freed from that bad attitude. Can I prove that? Yeah, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. This is so awesome. You have And I have the ability to love just like God loves. Yep. Yep. If we didn't, He wouldn't tell us to do it.
That's right.
I even have the ability to forgive as He forgives. I do. And that brings freedom. Have you ever experienced, I know many of you have because I know your stories, but you experienced the bondage of unforgiveness and the torment that thinking about somebody else and what they did to you brings to you, and it's just day after day, and it's relentless. Relentless. Until God gets a hold of you and you take the verses for verbatim that says forgive, right? And in your heart, and watch this, I love this, forgiveness is a choice that you make, but it's one that you have to enforce over and over again, right? Because the enemy is going to come back. But once you do that in your heart, all of a sudden, and you're free from the torment. Let me give you an example of that, because we're talking about freedom. But if you're going to be free, then you have to be a disciple or a doer of the Word of God and act on it in spite of how you feel, in spite of what everything else looks like. There was a pastor, and before he was a pastor, he was a missionary. And he was, you know, overseas, obviously, but he was going on in a circle with other ministers, and they're raising money for different things. And one of his colleagues that they were together, you know, and had some funds together, the colleague took the money and kind of left him high and dry. Anybody know that? That'd get under your skin a little bit, right? How come you to do me like that, right? And yet God dealt with this pastor, and He said, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. So he did. Forgave him. And just said, you know, Lord, I just give that back to you. You're my source. I'm not going to look to that. I just refuse to be in unforgiveness. I'm going to walk in love whether he does or not. It doesn't matter. I put him in your hands. So watch this. 25 years later, everybody say 25. 25 years later, he was at this convention, and the man that did him wrong, who's still in the ministry, and you know, came up to him, John, we got to get this straight. And the pastor, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you do too. You remember back 25 years ago when that money issue, and I, you know, there was a issue about, and you know, he gave an apology for it. Oh, said John, I haven't thought a thing about that for 25 years. Because I forgave you of that 25 years ago. So the offender was in torment for 25 years. Because he hadn't dealt with forgiveness on his end toward this man. But the man who forgave was free. See, walking in the light of the Word of God as a disciple to the Word of God gets you free. So the next few weeks we're going to talk about freedom. But I want to, for just a minute, give you a couple of definitions of freedom. Free. It means freeborn. It means not a slave. It means unrestrained. It means not bound by an obligation. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you freeborn. The truth will make you free. I've been born again. I was lost in sin. I was confined by sin. I was restrained by sin. But I've been born again.
Amen.
So yes. I'm freeborn. I'm not a slave. I don't care how you look at me. I don't care what you think of me. He said, I'm not a slave. So if He said, I'm not a slave, I'm not a slave.
That's right.
Watch this. I'm unrestrained. What does that mean? Anything He says I can do, get out of my way. Are you listening to me? Get out of my way, because I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. Why? Because I'm unrestrained. Why? Because the truth has set me free. And I'm not bound by an obligation. Watch this. I became born again in August of 1977. Everything before that that I did wrong, I'm not obliged to be under the penalty of it any longer. So I'm not obliged to pay back to the enemy, right? Or watch this, even to pay back to God. Because He paid the price for me to be free. I'm not under the obligation. Now watch this. I'm not under the obligation of what anybody else says about me. How anybody else views me. Nobody, watch this, can hinder my joy. Nobody can hinder my peace. Nobody can tell me whether I'm loved of my Father or not. Because I'm not under obligation to your opinion. I'm not under obligation to your standards. I'm not under obligations to your religious rules. Why? Because the truth has made me free. Talking about freedom. 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 Watch this. I love this. Freedom is the state of exemption from the control of others. Now, I'm older than dirt, right? But the Rolling Stones had a song, said, Under My Thumb, right? And the whole gist of it was, I was once under her thumb, but now she's under my thumb. In other words, she was controlling me, but now I'm controlling her. Jesus paid the price for you to be out of the under the thumb of anyone but Him. Are you with me? Freedom means that you're free from the state or the exemption of control of others. Watch this. Freedom means that I'm free from the state, I'm exempt from the state of slavery or confinement. I'll just tell you that I'm not talking about physical things right now. But what I am talking about is in your heart and in your spirit. Right? I'll just give you this example. And I've read many testimonies and talked to a few men who've been in prison before. You know, they were in the joint for doing things they shouldn't have been doing, whatever. But they're serving their sentence out, and I've talked to them. And they said, well, man, we got born again. We're saved, man. We're in here. And some of them were lifers in jail. And they're just, but man, I'm serving Jesus every day. I've got a ministry in here. God's using me in here. And they've said this to me personally. And I've read it also in books. They've said to me, Pastor, we're freer in here in prison than we've ever been out there. And in many ways, when they get out, they say it's harder out here than it was in there. Why? Because there's more things going on, more activities, more. I'm pretty regimented in prison, right? Go to bed at a certain time, get up a certain time, eat a certain time, day after day after day, right? Do a certain job, pretty regimented. But when you get out here, there's the family, there's friends, there's the, you know, whatever. But watch this. Here's the deal. Freedom that Jesus is talking about is not talking about necessarily a location, but it's a heart attitude. Yeah. I'm free. I'm free. I've used this example before, but I think it again comes into play. The horrors that happened in Nazi Germany and the concentration camps. There was a rabbi who was taken and put in one of the concentration camps. And when they came to free him, you know, the soldiers came and they opened the gates up and here are all these prisoners, right? And I don't know if you've seen pictures, but it's horrendous. Just horrendous. I don't want to get too graphic there, but everybody, you could just see the beaten down, draw, you know, just everybody's, you know, just defeated. But it's almost like, what's different about him? He's looks the same physically. He's worn down, no, you know, skin on bone, and you know, you could tell he hasn't eaten for a long time. But he's smiling. Not only is he smiling, he said there was joy coming out of his eyes. And so he stuck out, right? In the middle of that horrific condition, he stuck out. And so they interviewed him and they said, why are you different? What's the difference? He said, when I came into this place and I saw the atrocities and what they were doing to other people, I said, they can do whatever they want to my body, but they'll not have my spirit. I refuse to let them put me in a condition where I'm without hope, without peace, without joy. See, if you're going to have the freedom that Jesus talked about, you have to have, and this is a Jewish, the chutzpah, to stand when everything is against you. And say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what's happening. I declare right now that my God will be with me and I will not let you steal my joy. Because Jesus paid the price for my exemption from the slavery of thought that you want to put me in. Are you with me? Freedom. We're talking about freedom. We have a part to play in freedom. Few verses and then we'll close for today. We'll take this up next week. But watch this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 17. Watch this. Now. Everybody say now. Now, right now. That means right now. Right now. Right now is now. Now is not tomorrow. Now is not yesterday. Now is right now. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, where is He? Where is He? Do you have to go to an anointed service to have the anointing come down and so that the Spirit of God is on you? Do you have to go somewhere? I mean, it's great to be in church, and obviously it's great to be here, and the atmosphere in the room is different. I just love it when we come together. But I don't have to go anywhere, because when I gave my heart to Jesus, my heart became brand new on the inside. And it says that He made it possible for me and this earth suit that I'm in, my mobile home here. He made that the possibility where the Holy Spirit could come and reside on the inside of me. So it says now, right now. Right now. Point to yourself. Right now. In me. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. Come on. There's the exemption from bondage. I'm no longer a slave. Come on. We sing the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, because I am a child of God. And then we go out here and become free. I mean, become bondage to the fear that we're not going to have enough. We're not going to be enough. We're not going to do enough. We're not, because we don't really become a disciple of the word that was even spoken to us in the song. In other words, I might feel like a slave, but I refuse to live like one. I might feel like I'm in bondage, but I'm telling you right now, I'm coming out. Right? I'm not sitting in the place in the bus where the devil wants me. I'm getting up, not because I've done anything, but because he said I could. And it's written, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you handle a few more? Just a few more. Go to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Glory to God. Verse 1 of Psalm 146. See, when you read the Psalms, you need to just take them personally. So one Psalm says, I cried to the Lord and he, in my distress, and he heard me, and he delivered me out of all my fears. That applies to me. When do you need to apply that? Apply that. Right now. I said right now. And it's never, well, this is wrong English, but you'll get the point. It's never not now. It's always now. So when you apply it, now. Right now. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes you got to tell your mind what to do. You ever had to tell yourself to shut up? I have. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Fear? Devil, you're lying to me that God left me. I will praise the Lord at all times. I remember a time where it was like one of those prayers, like, why, God? Why is this happening to me? But because I'd been in the Word and because I was a disciple to it, I said, but yet, and going back to Job, said, yet, even if they slay me, I will praise your name. I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm going to praise you no matter what. Verse 3, do not trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, but in this very day his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps the truth forever, who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. O God of Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. See, I've read the New Covenant, and I've read the fact that I am now a child of God. I am a son of the Most High God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we have in our contract, in our meditating, the Lord is the one who gives me freedom. The Lord is the one who brings me justice. The Lord will give me food. All right, I could go on forever. What? But Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I love Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now. There's that word now again. There is now no condemnation. You know what no means? Zip. Zilch. Nada. Doesn't exist. There is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And many of the original translations, and I don't have time to go into that, but the phrase, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, is not in there. And sometimes, when I first read this, I went, oh, am I in the flesh? Or am I walking in the Spirit? Again, going back to my actions. You know, if I was holy, if I hadn't cussed that day, if I hadn't done anything wrong, if I'd prayed enough, then I was in the Spirit. But if not, I was in the flesh. So if I'm in the flesh, there's got to be condemnation. So, no. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Your identification is no longer in you. You're identified in Him. So as long as there's no condemnation in Him, there's no condemnation in you. And so you're going to read the rest of these verses from two positions, those in Him and those who haven't accepted Him. Watch this. I've accepted Him, so therefore there is no condemnation in me. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Real short, what's the law of sin and death? You sin, you die. You sin, you're separated from God. Your sin, hell is your destination. Right? But because I'm in Jesus Christ and He paid the price for my sins, my freedom is assured because of Him. So I refuse to be under your condemnation or the enemy's condemnation, because Jesus has set me free from that condemnation. What does that mean? You can't manipulate me through a guilt trip. You can't make me do something by pressure. Right? Because my motivation is the freedom that Jesus set me free from. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Just say, I have the life of God in me. The life of God is mine through Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has set me free from all condemnation. I refuse to live in the view of unworthiness, because my worth is based on His blood. I am a child of God. I am free. I remain free. I'll walk in that freedom. And I refuse to let anybody tell me different. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk next week and following weeks about not only some of the hindrances to the freedom and some of the traps that we get into, but how to kick them out. Right? Paul said it this way, and I've used this verse a lot, but it's so good. He said, I've learned, and I like that part, I've learned. That means he didn't have it at the beginning. Going through things helped him. I learned in whatever state that I find myself in. And if you read the list, whether I'm broke or whether I got a lot, whether I'm hurting or whether I'm not hurting, whether people are with me or people are not with me, I've learned in whatever state they're in to be content. Why? Because he began to become the disciple of what Jesus taught. And when he became a disciple of what Jesus taught, he began to have revelation come to him from the Holy Spirit. That's revelation knowledge. In other words, God revealed himself to him. And then he learned that whatever state that I'm in, they're in to be content. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. and Christ Jesus is in me. You know where he wrote that from? A prison cell. He read a lot of the books from a prison cell in Rome. You can go to that prison cell. You know what it is? You can get down into it now, but what it was basically was this round hole in the ground where they lowered food down to them. And most of Paul's epistles were dictated. Why? Because he didn't have the utensils down there. So somebody up there was writing them down. Luke or Mark or somebody was pinning down the words that he was telling to them up there. I've learned whatever state I'm in, they're in to be content. So if you're not content, it's because you're not living in the freedom that's available to you. Amen. Did you get something this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I pray for all of those who are online and all of those who are in the room. If there's any who don't know you, Lord, I pray that you just reveal yourself to them. They might be just like I was, even at the point of God, if there is a God. Show yourself to me, and you are faithful to do it. But if you're watching online or here in the room and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, today you can just make him Lord and Savior by saying this: I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Lord. And that God raised him from the dead, proving that he paid the price for my sin. So I give up my life to Jesus. And Jesus, I ask you to wash me clean. Take me just the way I am, Lord. And if you can use me, use me. He will, he will, he will. Pray that prayer. Just you and God. Just you and God right now. Here I am, Lord. Maybe you're here or online and you've just walked away from the Lord. You don't have that peace anymore. You're in turmoil and you're just, what's the use type of thing. And you can just yield to him right now and say, Jesus, your opinion is the only one that matters to me. Forgive me for walking away from you. I know you never walked away from me, but I'm just coming back to you with open arms and asking you, Lord, to fill me with you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Hallelujah. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll have one more song of worship. And afterwards, we're headed up to help clean up so we can get up there in a hurry. And if you need prayer for anything, Donnie and others will be up here to pray for you in Jesus' name. We've seen people healed. We've seen people